Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
So we are going to continue our series today that we are calling Path to the Promise, okay? And this is what we know and what we have said so far. God has a plan and God has a purpose for every single person. Every single one of us in this room have a plan and a purpose and a promise from God. You got to know that, all right? So just say, I know that. Wait, I only got a few. Say, I know that. I know that. God has a plan and a purpose and a promise for your life. And with that plan and purpose, right, he gives us a promise that certain things will come to pass. And so there are paths that we take to get us to that purpose and that promise. And along that journey, we are being prepared for all of that, okay? And part of that preparation is what we are calling character building. How many likes character building? About five of us. Okay, good. I'm preaching the right message then. And so what we're doing, talking about this character building, we're using the life of Joseph. We're taking a look at him and all that Joseph went through to prepare him for the promise on his life and the purpose on his life. And then we're looking at that, and then we're applying it to our own personal lives. And then as a corporate body, as the church. So this is our fifth week. In the first week, we talked about puffed up pride. We've talked about the pits of life and Jesus pulling us out of those. We talked about the Lord prospering us. And last week we talked that purity still matters. And this week we're going to talk about persevering in prisons. And that'll make more sense as we get into the story. So if you remember last week, we talked about how Potiphar's wife attempted to get Joseph to lie with her, but he refused and he left, right? And so he passed the purity test. He did a great job with the purity test. But this is what happened after that. We're going to pick up and read straight from the Bible, Genesis chapter 39, verses 13 through 21. We're going to pick up right where we left off last week. So he fled. It said he fled from her because she was trying to convince him to lie with her. And so he fled. And here we go, verse 13. And so it was, when she saw that he had left, this is Potiphar's wife, his master's wife, when she saw that Joseph had fled and left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." Well, what do we know? That's a lie. She was trying to get him to lie with her, but he refused and fled and left the garment, his outer garment, in her hand. And so now she's made up a lie. Okay, she's lying about Joseph. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. This is her husband. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words," which were lies, "which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." All right, so this prison test right here, this prison test can be summed up with this. It is the test of perseverance. The test of perseverance. Another way for me to say that is, what are you going to do when you do the right thing and you suffer the wrong results for it? Think about it. What are you going to do when someone lies about you and others believe it. People believe it. They're telling straight up lies about you, but others believe it. Because this is what happened with Joseph. Joseph was innocent, right? And yet he suffered for the lies that this woman told and for just doing the right thing. He was punished. Because and he was in prison for years. So what are you going to do if the suffering continues? How are you going to respond? See, so many people think that when God delivers them out of their circumstances, that they'll do something great for God, and maybe and hopefully they will. But the prison of perseverance, that test is, will you do something great for God even if your circumstances don't change? Even within the circumstances that you find yourself in, maybe they're lying about you, you've been unjustly accused, you've been unjustly punished, are you still going to do something great for God? Are you going to persevere? Now, 2 weeks ago when we were talking about prosperous promotion, I used some scripture from Romans chapter 5, and we're actually going to go back to that scripture today, and we're going to read that portion of scripture again because I'm going to use that scripture to provide my 4 points today. And we're going to use verses 3 through 5, but I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. This is what it says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. But here we go. Let's go 3, 4, and 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Make note of that, right? We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Okay. So Paul tells us right here, he says, we can glory in our tribulations. And the reason that we can glory in our tribulations is that we know that tribulations produce perseverance. And then perseverance will in turn produce character in us. And character in us produces hope, and hope in God does not disappoint. That's what it says. Hope in God does not disappoint. So really, that word glory right there, it is not the normal word used for glory in the Greek most of the time, okay? The normal word used in the Greek in the New Testament for glory is the Greek word doxa, D-O-X-A, and it actually means to shine, or the brightness of, the splendor of, or the majesty of. But that's not what is used right here. The Greek word used for glory right here is kauhaomai. And I'm not going to spell that for you. It's long. Kauhaomai, okay? And it means, this is what this Greek word means. It means to greatly rejoice. To have confident joy in. Oh, y'all put it up there. Good job. That's kauhaomai. So actually, I spelt that out. When I look up these Greek words, and it looks Greek to me, right? And so I actually type it out in my own way how it's supposed to be pronounced. Because I listen to it, I'll go and I'll listen to a translator, how they pronounce it. And then I that's not what was in the Strong's Concordance as far as how to pronounce it. But that's how I did it. Kauhaomai. That's how I remember. It's my own personal way. Cow, how am I? I probably should have put a C there. Cow, how am I? Okay, so that's the Greek word. But it means to greatly rejoice and have confident joy in tribulations. Why? How can we greatly rejoice and have confident joy in tribulations? Again, because of what it produces. Tribulations produce perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope in God does not disappoint. And here is the point I've been trying to make and get across for several weeks. If we don't have character in our lives, it's going to be real hard for us to step into every promise and every purpose that God has for our lives. We'll never step into something that's bigger than our character, okay? But in order to get character, this is the Bible right here, in order for us to get character, we first have to get perseverance. And in order for us to get perseverance, we have to go through tribulation. Wow. This is the Bible. Okay, don't shout me down. I got 4 points straight from Romans 5. Here's number one. Tribulation produces perseverance. Okay? We need to know, you need to know, if you are breathing, you're going to have tribulation in this life. You're going to have tribulation. Actually, Jesus said that we would. John 16, 33. These things, this is Jesus talking. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but you can be of good cheer because I have overcome the world, right? Here's another scripture that I want to read. It's from James. James says it this way, James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, okay? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Okay, so we got two scriptures there, and one says tribulations, one says trials. This is what it says, tribulations produce perseverance, trials produce patience. So let me tell you the difference between a tribulation and a trial. It's real simple. Trials are short, tribulations are long. That's the difference, okay? Trials are short, tribulations are long. So what's patience? Patience is waiting with contentment. So patience is not just waiting, but it's waiting with contentment. I've been tested in this week, right, Amanda? I've been tested in my patience. We went to a restaurant, a local restaurant this week. Myself, Amanda, and Elisha, we walk in, and we stand there for a little bit, but then they seat us, and we're sitting there, and 15 to 20 minutes goes by. We haven't even got a drink order yet. I'm just watching, and I'm like, Amanda, I think it's time we go. I mean, they're way too busy. They're short-staffed, nothing personal, but I don't want to sit here all day. And my 9-year-old, Elisha, he looks at me and says, well, what was it that he did say? I don't want to misquote him, but basically he told me in a nice way, I need to be quiet and wait. And so I'm like, okay, I can take that. Well, then the lady comes over. She drops a basket of bread and just walks off. But we're thirsty. So we wait a little while longer. I'm sitting there moving my leg just like, I just want some sweet tea, please. And eventually he tells me again, he said, if you'll just wait, something good might happen. Right? So eventually a young lady, she comes over and she was extremely nice and just apologetic. She's like, no one's taking your order or anything. And we're like, no, it's okay, it's okay. And she ends up being a fantastic waitress and she gives Amanda a free tiramisu because that's Amanda's favorite dessert. And Elisha looked at me when she said she was bringing a free dessert and he said, see? And I said, you know what? I told man, I said, I got to take that. My 9-year-old just preached to me. I'm being tested in what I'm supposed to get up and preach Sunday. So don't think I just get up here and preach at you. I'm learning this too. The Lord is still perfecting patience in me. So I was waiting, but I was not waiting with contentment. So I was not being patient. So patience is waiting with contentment. If you're waiting without contentment, let me tell you something. You need to ask the Lord for patience still because waiting without contentment is not patience. Okay, so here's my point. Trials are short and they produce patience. Tribulations, though, are long. And that is why it produces perseverance. It produces perseverance. That's the difference between these two. And we need to understand that because we got to know that perseverance doesn't come in a day. Perseverance doesn't come in a week. Perseverance doesn't really come within a month, right? For Joseph, it was 13 years from the time he got the dream till he stepped into Pharaoh's palace, right? 13 years. For David, it's believed to be 13 to 14 years from the time he was anointed king to the time he stepped into a place of being king, right? And somebody may say, well, great, I'm at year 12. It's right around the corner. Well, for Moses, it was 40 years. For the Israelites, guess what? It was 40 years in the wilderness, right? So this is my point. I don't know how long it'll be for me or for you. Actually, I think how we respond determines that. But this is what I do know. We're going to go through tribulations because Jesus said we were, but we don't have to worry about it because Jesus says we don't have to worry because he's already overcame the world. Amen? All right. So turn to your neighbor and say, don't worry. Don't worry. Go ahead, tell him, say, it's okay. Tell him, say, Jesus already overcame that. So rejoice. So rejoice. Okay. So think about this. We never read where Joseph got bitter at God or bitter at the Egyptians or Potiphar's wife or bitter at his brothers. We never read that. Why? Because tribulations, a long, difficult time, actually produced in him perseverance, not bitterness. And let me tell you something. It'll produce one of the two in you, depending on how you go through the tribulation. It'll produce in you perseverance, or it'll produce in you bitterness. So that's point one. Here's point number two. Perseverance produces character. Perseverance produces character. All right, so I looked, and I cannot find anywhere else in the Bible where it says something specifically produces character. This is only place in the Bible that I can find that it specifically says produces character. If you want to look it up and you find something and you find it somewhere else, please let me know. But I looked, I cannot find anywhere it says specifically that this produces character. I know that life experiences, I know that being mentored by someone, I know that the teaching and the exhortation of the word helps us. I know our friends and even our spouses can help produce character in us, right? But I can't find another verse in the Bible that specifically tells us this produces character, except right here in Romans 5. I wish that it would say something like, someone who already has character, go find them, have them lay hands on you and pray for you, and you receive character. Or I wish it said that going fishing, because I love fishing, produces character. Or maybe even Little Debbie's produce character. I'd have all the character in the world. I got some jelly cream pie Little Debbie's in the fridge right now, because when they're good and cold and you take them out, they're just, I wish that produced character. That's not what the good book says. God's word says perseverance produces character. So we got to learn to persevere. Well, to persevere, that takes tribulation. So getting to a place where you have good character doesn't have the most appealing formula. Amen? But here's a better way to look at it, right? Instead of the glass half empty, let's look at it half full. We're going to have tribulation in this life no matter what. Jesus said so. So why not learn to persevere through it the right way, God's way, and then allow it to build your character? Now, I know that's not crazy deep revelation on that matter, but if we'll grab a hold of that simple truth, it'll change our lives just like the simple gospel did. Amen? All right, so I'm going to show you something that I believe can cause us to stay in the prison of perseverance, saying we need to persevere a little bit longer. And what can cause that is when in the middle of our circumstances, in the middle of our tribulation, we begin to focus on me. Joyce Meyer has this sermon where she acts like a robot. I can't remember all the content, but this always stuck to me. She's like a robot. And she's like, what about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? We're selfish people. But when we begin to focus on me in our tribulations, it doesn't help us at all, okay? Because in and through our circumstances, if we're focused on me, we will not have the mindset to help many others. And here was the problem for Joseph. Joseph's purpose, right? He had a promise, your family will bow down to you. But Joseph's purpose, we know, was to save thousands of people's lives. So if he was still focused on me, his character wasn't ready for him to do that yet. And we're going to talk more about the butler and the baker, hopefully next week, the dreams they had. But for today, I'm going to go to Genesis 40. I'm going to read you a portion of some of that scripture. Genesis 40, verses 12 through 15. So the Pharaoh's, let me just set this up. Pharaoh, through his butler, his cupbearer, which was his butler, and his main baker into prison because they offended him in some way. Okay? And so they've had a dream, and this is what they're in the prison where Joseph is in prison, and Joseph is talking to them. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. He's talking to the butler. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But here's what I want to focus on today. Verse 14, this is what Joseph said. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews. And also, I have done nothing here that I should be put. That's not all, folks. I've done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. In 2 verses, Joseph said, I twice and me 5 times. 5 times in 2 verses. Sounds like he was just a little bit focused on himself at that moment. Just at that moment, right? And this is what happened, Genesis 40, 23. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Forgot him. This is what we know. Look, Genesis chapter 41, verse 1 tells us this. 2 full years later, Pharaoh had a dream. 2 full years later, Pharaoh had a dream. Let me ask you a question. Who gave Pharaoh that dream? Huh? God. God gave him that dream, right? So why 2 years later after this? I'll tell you what I believe. I believe it was because God saw Joseph was still too focused on himself. So the Lord took a little more time to teach Joseph to persevere through his tribulation, through his circumstances. Why? To be able to help build his character so he could help save others and not just himself. It's something to think about. So perseverance builds character. So perseverance is doing the right thing even though your circumstances may not change. It's consistency. Consistently doing the right thing. Okay, here's number 3. Character produces hope. Remember, it said, I just want to point this out. It said that he left his garment, and she, Potiphar's wife, showed his garment to both the men of her house and her husband. All right, I just want to show you something about Satan. He's not creative. He's not creative. What got Joseph thrown into the pit? If we remember going back to the pit message, right? Remember, it says, when his brother saw him a long way off. How did they see him that far away off? He had on that bright coat of many colors. Daddy's favorite's coming, boys. Looky here. I'm coming down the road. And they saw him in that coat, and they just said, we're sick of it. We've had enough. We're tired of seeing him flaunt that around. They ripped the coat off of him. They threw him in a pit. Then they sold him into slavery, but then they took that same exact coat and they presented it to Jacob, their father, and they convinced Jacob with a lie that Joseph was dead, right? What got him thrown into prison right here? His coat, his outer garment. It was left in her hand and used as false evidence again to try to prove him guilty. I say all that to say this. I bet Joseph hoped he would never see another coat in his life. Right? It could have been 10 below zero outside. I don't think Joseph would have put a coat on. Right? He could have been standing there shivering in the cold. Someone say, man, you're shivering. You want a coat? No! No, not a coat, please. No! Don't give me a coat. Somebody's laughing. Here's the reason I'm saying this. Once Satan finds out something works, once he finds out that you have a weakness towards something, he comes back with that. He doesn't have to, but because he can't. He's not creative. But he doesn't have to invent anything new. He already knows what he can get you with. And once he knows there's something in your life that you may struggle with, you better believe he's coming at you with that. Right? You know, how many times has it happened within the church, since we're in church, we'll talk about this, where someone has gotten offended in church, and they're out of church for weeks or months or even years because they got offended by the pastor or somebody in the church, and they just don't come back. And then I think about, like, well, I've been offended at the restaurant. I waited too long, but I keep going back. I get offended at the grocery store. They don't have enough cashiers, but I keep going back. Listen, Satan knows if he can keep that one person away from corporate worship, keep them away from the teaching of the word and the fellowship of the brethren, I've got them. I'm isolating them, right? That's what Satan does. So that's just a nugget. So I said character produces hope. But I need to tell you something about hope. I'm going to read Proverbs 13:12. It's a very popular scripture that's quoted, and it says this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Now, this is a biblical truth, okay? The only problem is that most people don't know the context of Proverbs chapter 13. And so when you don't know the context of Scripture, it leaves room to misinterpret that Scripture. I actually heard it said one time, I was listening to a teaching, and they said a text taken out of context leads to pretext. What does that mean? It means you can make it say whatever you want it to say. And so we always have to look at Scripture in its context, the context of Scripture. And so Proverbs 13 is a chapter of contrast, okay? Verse 11, right before verse 12, it talks about wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished. So it doesn't say there's anything wrong with gaining wealth, but if you do it by dishonesty and not allow the Lord to prosper you, then you're going to lose it, right, if it's done dishonestly. So the whole chapter is full of contrast. So this is not saying in Proverbs 13:12, it's not saying that no hope makes the heart sick, because if you got no hope, your heart's already sick, right? So it's not saying no hope. It is saying misplaced hope makes the heart sick, okay? Because Romans 5 that we read earlier, it tells us that hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God that has been poured out on us through the Holy Spirit, okay? So hope in God and his love for us through the Holy Spirit does not disappoint. Hope in God and his love for us does not leave the heart sick, but misplaced hope might. Misplaced hope might. For example, if your hope is in your circumstances changing, when your circumstances don't change, your heart's going to get sick. Oh, man, this is never going to change. You're discouraged, you're downcast, even depressed, right? But if your hope is in the God who never changes, right, then you will never have a sick heart. Never. Right? If our hope is truly in God, not once. If your hope is in the God who is good that we talked about and sang about earlier, and he works everything for our good, then you won't have a sick heart. Okay? So tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. So what does hope produce? Or does it produce anything? Well, it tells us that hope does not disappoint. Does not disappoint. So I would say this, and this is my last point. Hope in God produces divine appointments. If it does not disappoint, hope in God produces divine appointments. If hope in God does not disappoint, then it must appoint. Okay? Everybody following me on that? Y'all following me? It doesn't disappoint, so it appoints. Okay, I'm going to go back to grade school with y'all. I did this last week. I'm going to go back again and talk about prefixes. Anybody know what a prefix is? We're going to go over it. We're homeschooling Elisha. So when I get to be teacher, which is 99% of the time, when I'm homeschooling Elisha, we've been talking about prefixes, okay? And this is right up my alley right now. So a prefix is a letter or a group of letters that are added to the beginning of a word, right? And it makes a new word with a new meaning, okay? So the D-I-S in disappoint is actually a prefix, okay? The dis, okay? Do you know what that prefix dis means? You can look it up. It means not or opposite of. Okay, that's what dis, the prefix, means. It means not or opposite of. So to disappoint means to not appoint. So to disappoint means a missed appointment. You get disappointed when you think something was going to happen and it didn't happen. It's a missed appointment, a disappointment, okay? So hope in God produces divine appointments. That's what I'm trying to say. Tribulation produces perseverance in my life. Perseverance in my life produces character in my life. Character in my life produces hope in God in my life. And then hope in God produces divine appointments in my life. But you've got to keep your hope in God and not your circumstances and not yourself and not other people. Not in your church, not in your pastor, not anybody else but God. And when our hope is in God, we become less focused on ourselves and more focused on Him and how He sees others, okay? Let me tell you something. Joseph's conversation with that butler and baker that day was a divine appointment. It was a divine appointment. You know how it came to be? Let's just talk about it. Joseph looked and was concerned at that moment more about them and what God could do for them than he was himself in that moment. Okay? I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. Genesis 40, verses 6, 7, and 8. So Joseph came to them in the prison in the morning, early that morning, and he looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he looks, he sees the baker and the butler, and he says, wait, these guys, there's something wrong. Their countenance is sad. Okay? And he didn't just see that they were sad and walk away. Oh, they must be sad. No. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, the baker and the butler, who were with him in custody of his Lord's house, saying, why do you look sad today? He started a conversation with them. Why? Because he had compassion on them. He started a conversation because he had compassion and care for the baker and the butler. He saw that they looked sad, and he was actually just checking on them. He was focused on helping and ministering to others and not himself despite his circumstances. Because guess what? Joseph was in prison too. He was a prisoner too. He said to them, we have each had a dream and there is no interpreter of it. This is verse 8. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Joseph offered to them hope in God. Hey, guys. Listen, I know you're sad, but hey, God can do something for you. Let's put our hope in Him. Is He not the interpreter of dreams? Is He not the one that gives dreams? This was a divine appointment because this conversation is eventually what got Joseph out of that prison. This conversation. You can't tell me it wasn't a divine appointment. Now, what would have happened? What would have happened if Joseph in that moment was too focused on himself, focused on his circumstances, so much that it blinded him to the needs of others, and if he would have looked at them and said, oh, they're sad, but guess what? So am I. I'm a prisoner too. I got a bad day. They had dreams. I had dreams too. Those dreams are far from coming true. I was supposed to, my brothers and family supposed to be bowing down to me, but here I am. I've been thrown in a pit. I've been falsely accused for doing the right thing. I've been put in shackles in a prison. You're sad. I'm sad. I got something to complain about. What if Joseph would have acted like most of us do in our circumstances? He would have missed out on a divine appointment and been left disappointed. And it wasn't God's fault. God set it up if he just reacted the way. And he did. He showed concern. Amanda, you can come. Listen, some of the greatest moments for me in ministry have not been from this pulpit or any pulpit, not even in a church. Some of the greatest moments for me have been those moments where I've just had the opportunity, right? to just ask someone how they are, how they're doing, out of care, out of genuine care and concern for them, and sometimes it's complete strangers. I'm not afraid to ask somebody, like, what's the matter with you? You look a little down. I'm not afraid to tell somebody to look a little peppy, too. You know, I'll talk to anybody. You can ask Amanda. I think I do it so much it gets on her nerves sometimes. So she accepts who I am. But thank you, Jesus. But some of my greatest moments have been just those moments where I'm like, hey, how are you? What's going on? Right? What's going on? Why are you looking that way? Or why are you talking like that? What's going on? And then that conversation turned to encouragement, and it turned to prayer, and it turned to me sharing my faith in Jesus despite my own circumstances. Because guess what? Pastor Andrew has some bad days too. I've told y'all about some of them up here, right? I have bad days where I don't always get it right. But sharing the hope of God with others has led to so many divine appointments in my life, I couldn't count them. Where I just started a conversation and then it turned into something later in life that's like, wow, what a blessing. Just because trying to care and minister to others and give them hope in God. So this is what I want to do. I want to encourage you today, despite your circumstances, despite your tribulations, whatever those may be, hope in God. Hope in God. If you put your hope in God, it will not disappoint. It'll actually set up a divine appointment. I want to close by reading to you Psalm 42. Psalm 42 is probably one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. I have thousands of favorite scriptures in the Bible. But Psalm 42, it really is precious to me. I believe that it is a reminder that despite our circumstances, sometimes we got to preach to ourselves and tell ourselves to hope in God, right? There's been so many times, difficult times, difficult seasons, difficult days, where I've had to stop, take a moment, and tell myself, preach to myself, hey, despite everything else, hope in God. I know what it feels like. I know how crazy my mind feels. My emotions are all out of whack. But I got to take a moment and remind myself, hope in God. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Basically, hey, I've had a bad season. I've been crying, I've been weeping, going through a lot, and people's actually mocking me, saying, where's your God? If your God was there, this wouldn't have happened. If God loved you, that wouldn't have happened. If God was this, if God was that, that wouldn't have happened. They're saying, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Here's where we preach to ourselves. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. My prayer is that you would glory in your tribulations, that you would have confident joy in your tribulations as they, if you'll allow, as they produce in you perseverance. And as you persevere, that perseverance produces in you character, the character that God would have you have. Why? Because he's got a plan and a purpose and a promise. And that character would produce hope, but not in yourself or other people, but it would produce hope in God. If you would all just please stand with me. Just going to ask you a couple questions. You can bow your heads, close your eyes, just out of respect for other people. We do this. I never try to embarrass anyone. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor Andrew, this is the first question that's most important. Pastor Andrew, I don't know that I've ever placed my hope in God. I know all about him, but I've never given him my heart. I've never surrendered my life, my everything to Him. I've been going through a lot, and I just, you know, maybe you've been running for years. If you're here this morning, you say, I just want to surrender my heart and my life to Jesus as my Lord and Savior this morning. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Put it right back down. I see it. I see them. See those hands. Throw them right back down. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Andrew, listen, I've given my heart to the Lord, but man, I'm having trouble glorying or being joyful or even thankful in the middle of my tribulations. I need the Lord to help me with that, with everything I'm going through. If that's you, just throw your hand up. Throw your hand up. See them all across the room. Maybe you say, hey, I need help with persevering the right way through my tribulations. Throw that hand up. The right way. I need to do it the right way. Yeah. Maybe you say, I want the character that perseverance produces. Throw your hand up. Yeah. I'm at a place, maybe you say, I'm at a place I need hope in God. I need to hope in God. I feel like I got no other hope. And I'm desperate, and I need a dose of hope this morning. Throw your hand up. Last thing I'm going to say. Maybe you say, I've been disappointed, and I don't want to miss any more divine appointments, so I'm going to hope in God. Go ahead, throw it up. All right, I want y'all to look at me. I'll be the first to raise my hand. You know, even this week, I walked away from the restaurant. It's funny, but the Lord used my 9-year-old to minister to me and say, look, you're going to preach this, you better live it. Right? I get checked all the time because I mess up, but the Lord was speaking to me not in a harsh way. He's like, hey, you could minister to this lady. She's busy. She's short-staffed. And she's probably getting all kind of jerks treating her bad because they're having to wait. But you could offer her kindness and joy. And we did. We did. We were kind, and she was very grateful. But I don't want to miss divine appointments and leave myself and other people disappointed. I want to do my best. That's all I'm saying. I'm not going to say I'll be perfect because I know I won't be. But I do want to give it my best. I want to give it my best. Because I know that God wants the best for us. Right? He gave the best for us. He gave Jesus. One who never sinned for us. He gave us salvation through Him. Just by faith. Grace. What a good God. They're getting ready to sing. Listen, there were hands raised across this room for all sorts of reasons. The reason you raised your hand is between you and the Lord. We're not here to call people out, but we're going to give you an opportunity to come and have some time between you and the Lord, right? Where you speak with Him. If you're saying, hey, I've never given my heart to Jesus, I need to do that today. Let me explain that real quick before we do this call, because there were people that raised their hands for that. The church seemed to have complicated the process of salvation, right? But this is what the Bible says, Romans 10:9, right? If you confess the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you believe in your heart, you truly believe that He's the Son of God, that He came, that He lived a sinless life, that He died on the cross for the sins of the world, that he was buried, that He rose again, and that He ascended into heaven, and that He's coming again. If you confess that, He's my Lord, He's my Savior, He is my salvation, and you confess that, but you truly believe that in your heart, this is what the Bible says. You shall be saved. Not might, but you shall be saved. And from that moment, the Lord will help you. We read His Word. We spend time with Him in prayer. He helps us along the journey from there. But that is the simple gospel. But it's a life-changing truth if we'll just believe it. Confess and believe. So if you raise your hand for that, when we get this call, they start to sing. I want you to come. Come and confess. Jesus, You are the Lord and Savior of my life. I know that I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness, so I ask You, come, wash me clean, forgive me, be my Savior, be my Lord. I believe. It's that simple. Just talk to him like you would anyone else. If you raise your hand for any other reason, he knows why you raised your hand. He sees. He knows already. He wants to spend time with you. Come spend time with him. Let him minister you. And then then I'll come around and I'll pray with you if you want. Okay? So they're going to sing. As they begin to sing, if you raise your hand for any reason, just come spend some time between you and the Lord right now. Would you come?
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.